Welcome to the latest edition of the Nareit REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bourke from Quito, and here with us today to talk about the momentum driving the U.S. life sciences industry is Ian Anderson, Director of Research and Analysis at CBRE. Ian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
So I'd like to start by asking you to describe the life sciences industry in early 2019 and how the market has really evolved in the past few years.
Certainly. So the amount of momentum and acceleration in that momentum within the life sciences industry is tremendous. You know, it's hard for commercial real estate oriented people to understand some of the innovative things that are happening in chemistry and biology and other health services industries, but it is increasingly impacting us, and I think that's probably in a way why I'm speaking to you here today is because of all this tremendous innovation. So I can tell you the life sciences industry itself is growing at its fastest pace in 18 years, grew at its fastest pace in 2018 since 2000, so that kind of shows some of the employment growth and trajectory within the industry. And why really is all this happening? It goes back at least two decades, actually, when the human genome was first mapped. But increasingly, researchers are finding new, innovative, and unconventional ways to address disease and other maladies that people suffer from in this world. There is more data they have the ability to analyze. They have the technology to do it. And over the last few years, increasingly, the capital is there to fund a lot of these companies. So the industry is growing, again, at its fastest rate in 18 years. We are absolutely seeing that then in the commercial real estate industry with construction of laboratory space for these life sciences companies doubling over the past year in our top five markets that we monitor. So the industry is certainly on a tear. The outlook for it continues to be good. The long-term trajectory, it doesn't seem to be anything that may derail the long-term growth, and I think that's why we're seeing more REITs, more investors become attracted to the industry. So that is strong. The outlook continues to be good. And as for, you know, how the industry has changed maybe just the last few years, well, again, maybe let me go back maybe a couple of decades because 20 years ago, I would say that most of the innovation in the industry was coming from the larger pharmaceutical companies, and certainly they are still probably driving most of the revenue and perhaps innovation in the industry today as they're diversifying. But over the last few years, it certainly has skewed more towards biotechnology or focusing on large molecule solutions. And in particular, over the last couple of years, the ascendance of gene therapy and gene editing companies has become an increasing player in the industry. So the innovation continues to explode, and there doesn't seem to be much to deter that in the near term.
And what role would you say that REITs have played in the advancement of the industry, and do they have specific advantages?
They do. REITs definitely play a leading role. They play a leading role, obviously, more in the commercial real estate, but you know, one of the reasons they kind of lead in the commercial real estate sphere is, well, two reasons. One, they have the capital. This is a capital-intensive environment for life sciences companies to operate. So this is not just your conventional office. This is obviously not a warehouse in a peripheral location where they just need to put up, to make it a little too basic, but four walls and a concrete floor. No, you have some serious issues you have to address for these companies to undertake their research. There is exhaust, there are ceiling heights, there's obviously technology and materials they're using that can't be put in many places. So when a life sciences company is starting out or they're expanding, they need the appropriate place. They need the appropriate place to operate, and they also need a significant tenant fit out for that space. So there's a lot of capital up front, and in many ways that scares off some of the smaller investors who aren't apprised of this industry as much. So that gives REITs an advantage right there, is the capital necessary to operate in this environment and that the users need. The second thing is that many REITs, and this isn't exclusive to REITs, but some of the REITs who are excelling in this space, usually they understand the industry a little bit better. They'll have biochemists or other technologists on their staff or consulting to help them in their underwriting and understanding some of the companies that will become tenants. And so there are some REITs or perhaps I should say a select few that are become very adept at vetting who their tenants will become. Because they understand the business and they understand who's going to grow and become more stable tenants so that they can underwrite future rents for them a little bit better. So REITs continue to be at the forefront of this industry, and that will probably continue for quite a while.
And in terms of geographic markets, Boston and San Francisco have been out front for some time. Do you think those cities would retain the top spot when it comes to attracting talent and investor interest?
I do. It doesn't mean that the industry presence will not spread to other hubs. We do think it will, in fact, just from the long-term growth in this industry. But Boston and San Francisco have had a traditional preeminence in this industry. The institutions they have, the capital that there has enabled them to separate themselves even further from some of their counterparts in the country. So they have a clear lead as the leaders in this industry, one obviously on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. And then where you have that, you know, you have the people at the top of this industry, many of them in these locales, and it kind of works the same way as, there's only so many Wall Streets, there's only so many Hollywood production centers, for the film industry, and likewise for this industry. Boston and San Francisco have an edge in the top scientists, many top scientists wanting to continue to be there. And so that will continue. Having said that, though, with pricing, with the intense competition for talent, with the innovation occurring within the industry, you're going to see more hubs become more acceptable candidates for future expansion by some of these current leaders who are in places like Boston and San Francisco and are leery of venturing out to, let's just say, new emerging hubs. Let's just say it could be Austin, Texas. It could be Pittsburgh. I think you'll see a greater willingness for people to venture out to those. And likewise, investors too.
Now, it does sound like a hyper-competitive marketplace. What sort of pricing are you seeing, and are there any other trends that you're particularly watching?
Mm-hmm. It is very interesting in the pricing we're seeing from investors for these types of properties. So the data we've analyzed covers research and development properties in the United States, and it's in our latest report, in fact. So there is some tech R&D and some other R&D in the numbers we're analyzing. Nonetheless, there are a significant number of life sciences lab properties in there. And what we've seen is that these R&D properties, many of which are lab properties, have cap rates, capitalization rates, that are in fact lower than conventional offices for the first time we've seen in the last 20 years. So in the previous cycle between 2004, 2007, cap rates for R&D properties were slightly above conventional offices. throughout the last expansion. This expansion, however, we have seen R&D properties, and many of which are these same laboratory properties, actually selling for cap rates or trading at cap rates that are beneath conventional offices for the first time. So, yes, pricing is very strong. More people are understanding the same story and many of these same trends I'm discussing here with you today, and as a result, they want to partake. We are seeing, myself, anecdotally, significant interest from investors, institutional investors, and others across the country and globally, seeing this as a long-term growth story, strong fundamentals, where you may be able to have an edge like some of our REITs do, and they want to get into it. So it's contributing to some of this pricing. And then, you know, some of the pricing also is just a result is the massive growth and the so far, I guess you could call it inability of the commercial real estate industry to supply enough space, which is causing really strong pricing or in market fundamentals. As for other trends we're watching within the industry, really in one way, this industry and the way it's affecting commercial real estate is very different. Some of which I've mentioned here today. In other ways, it's not very different. One, there's a very intense competition for talent that's affecting industries across the spectrum today. That is a significant trend we're watching. So in our latest report as well, much of our focus is, obviously, it's on the leaders in this industry, Boston and San Francisco and San Diego and Raleigh-Durham and New Jersey and some emergence of New York City, et cetera. But what we're really trying to uncover is, and what many of our clients are asking is where do we need to go next? They know that Boston and San Francisco are leading. Where else can they go to get some of the significant talent? Where can they go to expand? So we take a significant look at that. In-depth look at that in our analysis. The other trend we're watching too is that, which again is not unique to lab space or life sciences, but the way users are using space today, even in labs, is different. And it's very similar to the way people are changing the way they're using office spaces. So for example, the area per square foot for scientists today is declining, just as it is for your conventional office workers. Just due to technology, you don't need as much space. At the same time, there is a rise and a need for, in these lab spaces, more places for collaboration. In many cases, scientists not only need wet lab space, but increasingly they need space to work on the computer as well. So the way users are using the space is changing as well. And of course, there is always a continued trend towards going to lower cost areas for labor. So some companies, again, the high value add talent in many cases is staying in these U.S. hubs, but increasingly they're taking advantage of low cost destinations for labor for analyzing and diagnosing some of their research. So just a few trends there.
Okay. Well, Ian, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today.
It was great speaking with you.
And to our listeners, you can find the full selection of REIT Report interviews by visiting REIT.com.